Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I think many of you remember now Father Henry Finch, who, of course, was at this parish many times and still visits from time to time. He was here as a deacon and was ordained in this very church, and now serves at St. Peter's in Baylor in the city of Waco. Just been made an administrator, so pray for him, because he'll be taking care of the college students there. And Father Henry, as you probably remember, has a way of giving us kind of great, like, gold nuggets here and there, things that really stick with us that we remember. And one thing that he said in a priest gathering that we were together, he said, "I have not yet known the priesthood not in a time of crisis." Because he came in, was ordained around the time of the scandal that occurred that summer. And then shortly thereafter, COVID, ice storm, so on and so forth. So it's kind of the same for me. I haven't really known the normal priesthood yet. And yet in that kind of difficulty there, God works great graces. And what we kind of came to in the seminary, especially in dealing with all those difficulties, is this very gospel. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. It doesn't matter what's happening in the world. I will stay faithful to you because you are the only one who can satisfy me. You're the only one who loves me and the only one who longs to give me life. That is the way of the Christian. As the world turns, the cross stays stationary in the center. And so we have to remain founded on Christ. And in this series of Gospels, Christ tells us more and more who he is. We began with the feeding of the multitude, that Christ loved them so much that he wanted to give them something to eat, and of course, to preach to them afterward, knowing that they would pay more attention had he given them something, of course, but also for that to serve as a model of what communion is, what communion means, and to begin the great discourse. For they came to him again. They followed him around the lake, and they said, "We want more." And Christ said, "You don't want more of what you really need. You want more of the physical world. You want more material things. But I'm going to give you something much greater." As I mentioned before, the manna that fell from heaven was given, and the quail as well, were given because the people asked for it. They pleaded for it. Christ did something new. Even though we didn't ask for it and we don't have to work for it, he gives us himself in the Blessed Sacrament because he longs to approach us and give us even more than we asked for and something much greater than we asked for. And by trusting in Christ, we do not hunger, we do not thirst, not in the physical sense, of course, but in the fact that we rely on God and can find satisfaction in him. We can't find that in the world. And whenever we try, we fail miserably, and we dive deeper into despair. Only Christ can give us that great hope. The people didn't understand. They were like, "We know who this guy is. He came from Nazareth. Nothing good comes from Nazareth. We know his family. He couldn't have come from heaven." Because they, of course, didn't grasp that he was fully God, fully man. Neither did the church for, several hundreds of years later. But they let that become a barrier for them. They didn't leave themselves open to him. And I think we often do that ourselves. We think we know what's good for us. We think we know everything. And so we put up a barrier by blocking God. In our pride, we think, "I'm good, I don't need anything." But quickly we realize, "Yeah, I need a lot of help. I really need a lot of help." And Christ approaches us when we're open to him. As the Old Testament said, "Turn my heart of stone into a heart of flesh," to open us to him. And then to receive him in the Holy Eucharist. Christ, of course, gave this discourse before the Last Supper, before his sacrifice on the cross. And so it was not yet time for them to receive him substantially in the Blessed Sacrament. But this was to prepare the way for that, to prepare ourselves so that we could be open to him. Following that was when more and more murmuring occurred, of course, because the Jews were human, the disciples were human, we are human, we murmur a lot, right? That's actually St. Benedict's eighth deadly sin, for those who know St. Benedict. And so they focused on, again, that physical world. How can he give us his flesh to eat? How can he give us his blood to drink? That's cannibalism. God doesn't allow cannibalism. And so they get hung up on those sorts of things. Now, I won't go into the distinction between cannibalism and the Blessed Sacrament. That's a little more of a philosophical discussion. But know that God has commanded this in order for us to be healed and be fed by him. We see that it's more than just receiving his body and blood. We also receive his soul and divinity. Meaning, he enfleshes himself within us. The word flesh takes such a great importance in this particular weekend. Flesh, meat, carne, you know, that we are given him to eat. And flesh is much more than just the physical, once again. We see this in the letter to the St. Paul to the Ephesians, and continuing the sequence of the Ephesians letter as we've been reading, how the two become one flesh. And that is the way it's supposed to be with us and God as well. That's the entire purpose of communion. That God so wants us to be part of his body. We call ourselves the body of Christ. And so we have to take that seriously. He wants us to do so in every aspect. And that's why he wants to come in to us and transform us. Just as the man and the woman meet and become one flesh. They become together in the fullest sense that they can. And yet with Christ, it's even deeper than that. The mystical marriage of the soul to God that we will experience in heaven begins now in the Eucharist. That we can connect with our God in such a powerful way. And so that requires our response. How will we respond when the world comes against us, when everything is going wrong, when more and more crises are coming up all the time, and we are so anxious, we are so tired? God says, come to me and be refreshed, be healed. Don't worry about those things. Because if you rest in me, I will give you strength to endure those things. Those of us who have been ordained at this crazy time, we have to live that way, or else we would not survive. And it's the same for all of us. We won't last if we keep trying to do things on our own strength. We have to have Christ strengthen us, especially in the Most Blessed Sacrament. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And I don't want to be anywhere else. I just want to be with you. We go back to the image of a few weeks ago of Christ in the boat. He's sleeping in the stern in the midst of the great storm. The apostles are running all over the place trying to fix things. But it's as if Christ says, just come rest in me. Sit with me until I awake, and you will find great peace. And in doing that, even though the storm is surrounding us, we can not only detach from it, but even almost kind of forget about it. That Christ is so much our comfort that we have no need to worry about these things around us. That's what it means to be a Christian, and especially a Catholic. Those of us who have the great gift of the sacraments. Sacraments are incredibly powerful. That's why I love being a priest, is to provide you all with the sacraments. Confession, anointing. I love providing healing to people. And after we have cleansed ourselves, purified ourselves, or rather, allowed God to do that in us, that's when we approach the sacred altar, saying, Lord, I need you. Please come into me and transform me. And that's what he longs to do. When we hand ourselves over to him, he can transform us. That is our belief. And what a beautiful one it is. It's a great privilege of mine in the midst of the chaos to come here in this sacred place, to join with the saints and angels in heaven, and to give you personally the Blessed Sacrament, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ in every fragment. That is incredibly beautiful, something we have to take seriously, and something that should enrich us. So I encourage you all to reflect more and more on Christ in your life today, this week. Are you enriched by him? Are you open to him? Do you take your comfort, your satisfaction in him? And then adjust. We need to adjust our lives accordingly, right? To point to Christ at all times. That way, not only are we healed, are we fulfilled, are we satisfied, but we can show others that I will follow my Lord at all costs, because he's the only one who loves me and the only one I can take comfort in the midst of the chaos. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.